This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Okay, it is VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. You heard Brent Musburger as we welcome you back. This is Sharp Money on a Friday, June 30th. That matters because it's free agency. Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. We're trying to hunt down Matt Moore, who's probably all over the free agency. Of course, Matt Moore joins us all the time. He's going to be there in a minute. Okay, great. Zachary Cohen is going to join at the bottom of the hour. He writes for us over not just the NFL guide, but sometimes you see from Zachary over at the Daily Newsletter, does a great job. So we'll talk to him and relate to the guide. Three up, three down. Samich is going to join us in the final hour as well. So plenty to do. I don't know, Amal, if you've seen anything. Anything happen while we just kind of transition to Major League Baseball as far as the NBA? Have you guys seen any breaking news come across?
Nothing yet. Free agency is officially going to open at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 o'clock Pacific time. But it'll be interesting to see which contracts the ink is dry on before we even get to 6:01.
It really is. Now, our buddy Matt Moore. Okay, so let's bring in Matt, and a couple of things. One, I guess he hasn't slept much since the championship there with the Nuggets, but we say hi to Matt, Action Network, of course. We love Matt. And Matt had a good hit during the draft. I should mention this, 16-1 on Kobe Brown going in the first round, so we give him credit there. Before we get to free agency, Matt, is there anything else just storyline-wise that just jumps off at you as far as the draft that went down?
Yeah, I mean, I still continue to think that what happened with Brandon Miller, number two, was more interesting than kind of the surface story. Like, the story that was kind of presented was, yeah, he was always their guy. They were always going to take him. And just, I'm open to being wrong. I don't believe that's the case. I think that was much more up in the air, and I'm very interested to see what happens with new ownership coming in and with what continues to happen in terms of where Michael Jordan stands in the organization based off of how weird the outcome of that day was, because there's a lot of feeling around the league that a lot of people in that organization would have preferred Scoot Henderson at number two. So that's a big story, I think, coming in. You know, Cam Whitmore, I think, got a really raw deal in terms of where he slid in the draft. College coach basically talking him down, as well as some players called yellow flags on the medical report. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that has come out that seems like Cam Whitmore got a pretty raw deal from those around him, and probably, you know, should wind up being a pretty solid draft pick for the Rockets.
That's interesting, Patrick. What Matt just brought up, the point about Kyle Neptune, the head coach of Villanova. That's a big part of it, Matt, when you look at the evaluation. That just surprises me, especially, you know, we were talking about before in the last hour, we're talking about Jalen Brunson, Bridges, these guys who played on the main line, you know what you're going to get out of them every night. So I'm a little bit surprised. I don't know if you have any more information or if you can disclose it, but wow, Cam Whitmore, it seemed like he was going to be a top five, top seven guy, fell as you alluded to, but wow, I am shocked to hear that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not the one that reported it. I mean, this is on Ryan Rosillo's podcast, and from what I've heard around the league, when I asked about it, I was like, wait, is this true? They were like, yeah, actually, the reviews were not great. So, like, there's a lot of concerns there. I think the other thing, though, I will say is a couple of teams did say his workouts were really low energy. He's just a really low energy guy. He suffered an injury last year and played through it and really wasn't the same kind of guy in that stretch. And so I think that was part of it. But, like, he just comes across as a very low energy individual in workouts and in one-on-ones. But there's a whole lot of confidence from those that have followed his entire basketball career that are like, you get him in game environments when he's healthy and he's got the dog in him. So, again, we'll see what happens as far as his career. I think it's always hard to project these guys and they're so young. But it's an interesting question, I think, going forward as far as what happened to Whitmore and whether or not it was an accurate representation of what he's going to be.
Okay, from the draft, Matt Moore, Action Network, of course, Locked On NBA and Locked On Nuggets. Check out the podcast. Now we transition to free agencies. At HP Basketball, you hit us with the eyeball emoji. What's going on? What was that? What were you referring to there, Matt?
I just think that there's a lot of things that have kind of been in the ether as far as today with regards not only to James Harden, but there's, I think, a little bit of a growing sense around the league that time's running out on the Blazers. There's a real feeling that's entirely possible that Damian Lillard, because, look, Dame said he's going to give them a solid week to be able to try and develop an opportunity to build around him, build a championship contender around him in free agency. But if you don't have anything by now, quite honestly, like, you're already done. Like, you need to have had major moves on the table. There might be a couple of moves, left for them in the market, but a lot of things are already settled going into today's deadline. Now, technically, no one's supposed to have been able to talk to any of these free agents. But there's such an actual, like, so much of the market is already locked up. If they don't have anything cooking, there is kind of an expectation that it's going to free up the possibility of Dame, in fact, leaving the Blazers or demanding a trade. So I think that's part of the equation here as well. The Harden thing makes things really interesting and unstable. Reported this morning on the possibility of a three-way trade with Harden going to the Clippers, Paul George going to the Knicks, and then assets going back to the Sixers. I have tend to believe that one may have expired in terms of that was an early talk that may have fallen apart. But there's a lot, I think, that's on the table. We're seeing now that it's less about free agents in this market and in this particular year as it is about instead it's more in relation to these trades and what can happen in the trade market with guys that are already on contract, especially when it comes to the stars.
Man, I want to ask you about three players. Just give me an idea where you think they're going to wind up. Kyrie Irving, Draymond Green, and Brooke Lopez.
All right, so Draymond, I'll say first, I think he's coming back to the Warriors on a four-year deal. Okay. That's been kind of the assumption around the league. Like he first opts out, and everyone's like, yeah, he's coming back to the Warriors. And then there's talk about, hey, maybe the Blazers could be clearing cap space. Hey, that would be a move that Dame would like. And there's been a couple other teams that have kind of been linked to him. But everything I've heard is that a four-year deal upwards of $100 million is probably going to get him back in the fold throughout the end of his career. So I think he goes back to the Warriors. Brooke Lopez is basically deciding between less money, more years, chance of staying on a contender with the Bucks, and a shot with the Houston Rockets, who are offering, like, the money the Houston Rockets, you're going to see them throw out today, is going to be pretty staggering. They are throwing big money, short-term deals at multiple free agents. The ones on their list are Fred VanVleet at the top, Brooke Lopez, Dylan Brooks, and if they can figure out a way to clear cap space or do a sign-and-trade, Kyle Kuzma. So, like, those are the guys that the Houston Rockets are after. So Brooke Lopez has a big money offer on the table for 2 years to the Houston Rockets. But if he wants to stay in Milwaukee, he does have an offer on the table to go ahead and stay there. More years at less money. Then there's Kyrie. I will say that my general thing with Kyrie Irving is I don't like to make predictions because you can't make predictions about an irrational actor. You have no idea, like, what this is going to look like. I will say this. The feeling around the league is that he is more anxious at getting meetings than teams are to take them.
Wow.
So he does have this list of teams that he's going to meet with. They have agreed to meetings. It is Kyrie Irving. He is an extremely talented player. There is a skepticism that he's going to receive a bigger deal than what he can get with Dallas. That Dallas is still probably going to offer him the combination of security and money that he's looking for. That there will probably be teams like Houston that will offer a lot of money, but it won't be a contending team. And there will be teams that are going to be looking more in terms of being a contender that aren't going to be able to offer him the money. So Dallas is the only team that really stands with both. And there is a strong feeling that much of this is built as a leverage play to make sure that Dallas offers and gives up the full four-year, as close to the four-year max offer that he wants as possible in order to keep him a Maverick.
Fascinating. Great answer. Great question. This is random. I just want to ask you, what do you think about the Rockets? You just mentioned they're going to spend money. Like, this amalgamation, I don't know if I love it or hate it. Amen Thompson, Jalen Green, Jabari Smith Jr., Kevin Porter Jr., Şengün. Like, there's so much talent. I just don't know if it's talent that can play together. Like, where are you at on that team?
I think that's why they're adding veterans. It's like the veterans are going to fill in the holes, right? That they're going to bring in guys that are going to teach them how to play winning basketball. Like, you add Brooke Lopez and Fred VanVleet, and that's a point guard that knows how to run an offense and a center that will help you be good defensively while also, like, setting the table for you in terms of this is how you should act. Like, that's what they really need. Is like they need – there were so many comments, and this isn't just, like, under the radar or off-record stuff. Players were openly talking about Houston last year in terms of that team has no idea what it's doing or how it should play the game or how they should behave off court. Like, just a complete mess. So they're trying to get adults in the room both for on the court and off the court. There's a way that this works. I love the idea of Fred VanVleet, Amen Thompson, Jabari Smith, Brooke Lopez, and Alperen Şengün. That combo is great. You'll notice I didn't say Jalen Green there because I don't know how Jalen Green fits with all this. Jalen Green is about getting buckets and getting paid and being the star and wants to be the guy. He's resisted playing. playing with Alper and Şengün, who clearly makes everyone better. Like, these are the things that make me very cautious. If I were the Rockets, I would have been throwing out Jalen Green in trade packages, quite honestly, at the draft. You could have probably moved into the top 10 with a mover of Jalen Green. I would have looked at that. I think I'm going to be higher on Houston than I have been, because you mentioned they have the talent. Like, I'm still very high on Jabari Smith. He showed some real stuff once he got through his shooting slump last year, but also he was in a really bad spot with the point guards he was chosen to play with. You put him next to Fred VanVleet, he's going to get better shots, cleaner shots, and Fred's going to make him better. So if they land Fred VanVleet, or even if they land Kyrie Irving, I think Jabari Smith looks better. Alper Şengün looks better. I like Amen Thompson a lot in terms of what he's going to bring to the table. As a combo next to that, my big question mark is Jalen Green.
Matt, we got about 30 seconds. How much of a loss could Bruce Brown be in free agency to Denver?
Massive. Jake Fisher reported this, and I heard things that were similar to it this morning, that Indiana is looking at a $20 million offer per year for Bruce Brown. There's nobody else is going to be compete with that. That's the Lakers. That's outside of the Lakers' $12 million MLE, and that's way outside of what Denver can offer. Denver has completely gone to bunker. I don't have any insight on what they think about their chances of retaining Bruce, but I will say, like, losing him is a major blow, not only because of what he does, but the combination. He does a lot of things at once, and they're going to have to do that to different guys, and that'll be tough for the Nuggets to look to repeat.
Matt, enjoy free agency. Enjoy your off season. We will talk to you in a couple of months, in a few months. Action Network, Matt Moore. Thank you, Matt.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Thank you. Okay, appreciate it. Does a great job, Matt Moore. Good information. Okay, when we come back, we actually have a game in about an hour. A good one. Padres, Reds. Let's get into that next.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, you're going to need the betting splits. Make sure you check them out, VSIN.com. They come straight from DraftKings, updated every 10 minutes. Money and bets for every game, today's games and future events as well. Make sure you check out the betting splits. It's one of those things where, you know, it'll always be a tab. You know, we close tabs at the end of the year, at the end of each show. Well, your splits will be up there every day. It's important part of your arsenal. Make sure you check them out, VSIN.com. Mal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson. I'm Patrick Maher. Hope you're having a nice day as we welcome you back. Okay, so busy day. We got that. Matt Moore was great, and I liked your question about the three players, because they weren't necessarily like the two. Brook Lopez is one that you brought up, and who was the second player you brought up that wasn't necessarily the guy on the radar? But the Lopez piece. Lopez had a career year.
It's exactly.
What is Lopez like? Was Lopez drafted in like 08?
He has been around a minute.
Think about what I just said there. I think he was drafted in literal like 08.
He's like 36, right?
Where was everyone living in 2008?
Dallas, Texas.
New York.
Valdosta, Georgia.
But he was like, the reason I bring up when he was drafted is because he popped last year. There was no slowing down as far as like for a big. Generally, your feet start to give out on you. Your knees start to give out on you. He was great last year for Milwaukee.
He really was. That's why I was asking about that, because he's a key piece, right? Does he want to win, or is he going to take the big payday here at this stage of his career? By the way, guys, I looked up Brook Lopez real quick without looking, Dustin. What do you think his career earnings are? 14 years in the NBA.
14, it's got to be like $230 million.
Patrick, any guesses?
Oh,
you're a little bit. You're high there.
I'm a little high.
I would say 180.
Close, 172.
But he's a frustrating. Here's why he's a frustrating player for me. I know, like, all the analytics nerds will tell you, like, he's an elite defender at the five and all this stuff. Bro, you're 7 feet tall. And for your career, you average 6.3 rebounds per game. I'm sorry. Anyone playing that many minutes?
Yeah, that
and
was
being
always the issue.
7 feet tall, you got to give me nine.
You know,
10 rebounds.
You know, my friend Evan, who's the number one Nets fan on the planet, all he would talk about when Brooke Lopez was a Net was the fact that he averaged six boards a game.
He's like, 7 feet.
You know what happened with Lopez? He decided to go stretch. He started getting buckets from three late in his career.
And that's just not a thing that happens, where he realized, like, look, I'm 7 feet, but I'm actually pretty athletic and I'm not going to get the boards. Let me learn how to shoot the three, and somehow became a really good 3-point shooter for his size.
But it also tells you what attitude, regardless of vocation, can do. I think the Lopez guys are super likable and great team guys. And the Attitude can stick you around a career for a while.
Attitude determines your altitude.
He didn't attempt a three-pointer in the NBA until the 2013-14 season. His first
but then
five
he got
years,
wet.
He attempted zero threes.
Yeah, but when he started shooting them, he was freaking Larry Bird.
No, he's a career 34% three-point shooter.
For a seven-footer.
Pretty good.
But to your point about why Evan was complaining about him on the Nets, he got 5 years and $82 million. I mean, I'm shocked he got paid that well by the Nets because I don't remember him doing much in Brooklyn.
Let me just go back to what it was. Gilbert Arenas, who I think he does a podcast, Dustin, you would know better than I.
He does.
So let me just contextualize. He was talking about somebody like Zion. And people are like, it's crazy. He's mixed up with porn stars. He's mixed up with OnlyFans models. Like, what's going on?
God,
Gilbert said, what
next.
Do you, what's that?
God, please let me be next.
He said, Gilbert said, literally, what do you guys expect? He's rich by the time he's 21, rich to the point where there's nothing to strive for. Literally, like, there is no other ceiling. Like, your next contract is only just going to add to the, it's going to be gratuitous. You're then injured, so you have more time than you would have if you were playing. When you're playing basketball, you have all the time in the world because their practice schedule, listen, they don't practice. We think they practice. They play games, right? And then they have an hour, 45-minute get-together during the week, and then they're done by 12:45, 1 p.m., and then it's time. And if you're rich, you're young, and you're bored, and you're not hitting up, you know, people that are gainfully employed, like you're getting involved with some people that, you know, of ill repute. I don't know. Like, there's reasons, and it's easy. It's easy for a 21-year-old to hit up somebody's DMs as opposed to, you know, taking somebody on a proper date when you're traveling so much. That's why Zion is hollering at porn stars and OnlyFans models.
He summarized it perfectly. I've had this conversation with so many people because always people say, why are these NBA guys doing this and that? And to the point we talked about earlier, what do? You have so much time. And, you know, Patrick, you brought up a great point. I talked to a former NBA player about this. I think the hardest thing for an NBA player is in a season where you're injured. Let's say you have a knee injury and you're out 60, 70, 80 games. You've got all the money in the world. You're not with the team. And to Patrick's point about practice, I have been to too many NBA practices. Dude, it is literally like shoot around where you just talk to your friends and you hang around. You do your 5 minutes with the media and you leave. And practice is an hour and a half to 2 hours. I mean, I'll tell you the biggest challenge, and people don't realize this, and this is why nobody's more vocal in their criticism of LeBron, but the one thing I respect about him is, this is a guy who could have gotten in trouble at any stage of his career, and he has absolutely lived a clean lifestyle in that sense. He hasn't gotten in trouble about anything. It's not easy when you have all the money in the world. You know, the excitement, let's say, for example, Dustin talks about this. Hey, made some money, went out and bought X or Y or Z. When you have unlimited funds to buy whatever you want, the excitement of going and buying a Ferrari is no longer there.
It's gratuitous. No, it's very well put. And a purposeless life, like the reason, you know, there's reasons for having purpose, and purpose sometimes is trying to achieve goals or strive for something that you've set for yourself. If you just have, it's gluttonous. Too much money can be, I know it sounds crazy because we all want as much money as we can possibly get, but whether you want to say gluttonous or gratuitous or whatever, where you just, it becomes, it's not a novelty anymore. It's not novel to spend money. Yeah. You're just spending money on top of money. You're throwing money at money and they get bored. So what do? They want to holler.
Well, it's like anything else, right? Once you get that rush, well, now the next time you do that same thing, the rush isn't the same. So you got to find something that ups the ante each time.
But Patrick made
it. You would know.
As I know from experience.
but Patrick made an incredible point that shouldn't go overlooked. You talked about having too much money. I mean, you know, Josh Towers and I talked about these guys who retire in baseball at 35 and have $100 million. It's hard to get up. What are you getting up for? You're not getting up for a job that pays you $100,000.
Exactly. And by the way, he's a bigger deal for the Pelicans than the general manager, the head coach, and everybody, the president. Like Zion, their jobs depend on him.
Yep.
So when you have all of that power, it's just, you know, and by the way, how about the big guy just went to a dark place when he said, when you said you start chasing. What did you say? Repeat what you said about
once you get that rush from, it's anything that makes you feel good. The first time you do it, you get a rush. I mean, I've never done heroin, but I'm told that's what happens with people, is like they're always chasing that first high. And like same thing with drinking. The first time you got drunk, it felt really good. You're like, let me chase that again. It takes a little bit more to get you drunk the next time. Well, eventually you get sick from it. And then bad things happen in the rest of your life from too
much
drinking.
Haven't the experts broke this down for years and years that once you make over like $72,000, nothing changes in your life?
Oh, really?
Meaning, yeah, the number, if you just look up, I think it's like 72,000. Like there's been many studies where at a certain point, nothing changes your happiness as far as income. And I mean, now we're talking about 72 million. think about 72 grand or 72 million, and that certainly can't change anything. Anyway, I find it fascinating. And to circle back on just the basketball perspective of this, like what do you, David Griffin runs the Pelicans. His decision with Zion, you're not going to get enough. Like you can't trade him right now because you're not any team you call is going to say, what are you kidding? This is a broken product. Even knowing, wink, wink, that the upside is still ridiculous. He's 22 years old.
I thought the point Matt made about Kyrie Irving wanting to take meetings with teams, but teams weren't interested in him. Boy, that had to be a real eye opener for him and his his agent.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, what would you guys do if you were the Pelicans? Because again, you can't trade low. It's like if you're already pot committed with a stock, you know, when you buy a stock and all of a sudden you turn around one day, and it's bottomed out. You're like, I'm holding on to this thing until I die. People say, get out now. Nope. I'm not getting out. I at least want to break even. You can't break even with value on Zion right now. Nobody's going to give you anything because they're just going to point to porn stars and injuries.
Yeah, you're getting half a penny on the dollar. Like you're not even getting half value. Like there, I know there's still potential there that we have yet to unlock, but it's not worth trading him at this point. You might as well ride it all the way out and see how it plays out.
I would say this. I think the NBA is used to players having the off court things being a bit nefarious at times, but it's more the injury concern. And I hate to say this with Zion. He seems like a guy, if he doesn't take care of his health, he could be north of four bills very easily.
Trust me, it's easy to get there.
You should text him. Words of encouragement from the big guy to Zion. You guys would be
Diet
a great
buddies.
Duo. Yeah, why not? We'll get back to the guy with our buddy Zachary Cohen next here on Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
All right, it's $5 to get $150 right now at DraftKings. Download the DK app, and when you do, to get that $150, you have to use the promo code VSIN, V-S-I-N, when you sign up. All right, let's get our buddy, our teammate, Zachary Cohen on, VSIN betting analyst. He's got a lit handle on Twitter, at Zico, Z-C-O, literally. Great part of the guide. He's got a bunch. He's got a million bets. Wrote an article about the MVP. Wrote about MVP futures and NFC West. Of course, he is located. Our buddy Zachary Cohen joins us in Arizona. Speaking of Arizona, what is happening? Did those of that surround you that are Suns fans, and I believe you might be a Suns fan, are they into the Bradley Beal edition?
I'm actually the only Suns fan in the family because everybody else moved from New York also. But yeah, I was into the Beal acquisition. They really had no choice but to trade, you know, what they could for him. I mean, they weren't going to be able to improve the team any other way.
By the way, Patrick, when you said Bradley Beal, I thought they were going to say who?
No, Beal. Now I've heard Kyrie, there's no way they have room. Are they going to move on from Ayton? Are they committed to Ayton? What's the deal with DeAndre Ayton?
I think it was Chris Haynes came out and said that they have, you know, they've now committed to Ayton, but I think that was after they tried to trade him to like every single team in the league. So I do think if an opportunity comes up for them to trade him for a couple of role players, they will. But yeah, I think the latest that they're committed to him.
When you look at some of these free agent moves from a betting standpoint, how much would it impact you as a bettor to potentially see, okay, they get an acquisition of, let's say, Kyrie Irving to Team X or, you know, James Harden to Team Y. Are there any players right now that are going to move the needle for you where if it occurs, you're going to look to potentially bet it, you know, 10, 11 months out before the season finishes?
Yeah, I mean, I think Harden to the Clippers does make them like a legitimate contender to win the title, especially because I don't think they're going to have to give up much to get him. But the same thing with the Clippers as usual is I don't know if I trust them health-wise. And I think that, yeah, one of those two guys, Paul George or Kawhi Leonard, is probably not going to be playing in the playoffs.
Okay, let's get to the guide. So congratulations. And first off, thank you for all your effort you put into the guide. The NFL betting guide is available VSiN.com/subscribe. The reviews have been awesome. Zachary was a huge part of it. Let's start with a team that we're all bullish on here on the show, and it's one of your bets. You're going over the 7.5 with the Chicago Bears, Zach.
It's great to hear you're all bullish on them because I feel like everywhere else, everyone has the under on that win total. But yeah, I don't know. I watch a lot of college football. I consider myself a pretty good talent evaluator, and it drives me crazy when I hear people say that Justin Fields can't throw the football. I mean, I watched that guy sling deep passes right on the money for years. And I just think that he's going to now have the chance to throw the ball accurately. He has an improved offensive line. They signed Nate Davis, a good veteran, plug-and-play starter there. They drafted Darnell Wright, who should be able to contribute right away on the right side. Yeah, and I just think that offensive line is going to hold up for him. And then you get DJ Moore on the outside, who's one of the best wide receivers in football, and he's going to make everybody else's life easier.
You know, to your point, Zachary, Patrick and I believe that Detroit and Chicago are the two teams to win this division. But I like what you said about Justin Fields. I feel like as a quarterback, he has the greatest upside in this division. He was seventh in rush yards last year, and people don't realize he was outside of Cole Kmet. I don't think there's anybody on that roster you wanted to be throwing to.
Yeah, it's hard to trust those receivers. Darnell Mooney is definitely, you know, a second or third receiver in right. this league. He'll now finally be in that position, and Cole Kmet. Teams aren't going to be able to load up on him now. So I do think that Fields is going to be able to trust those wide receivers a bit more. And then they added as much talent as anybody on the defensive side of the ball.
Zachary Cohen, VSiN betting analyst, Zico on Twitter, huge part of the guide, did a great job with it. I'm right there with you, your local team and the Cardinals, 4.5 wins. So it's set at 4.5. If you want to go over, you got to get to 5. That seems optimistic for a team that is going to be a dumpster fire.
Yeah. And they're underdogs in all of the games that they're going to be playing this season. That's the way it was on DraftKings when the schedule came out. And I just don't think that Kyler Murray is going to play this season. I think they're going to start, 1-6, 1-7. Make the decision not to bring him back. Cause I do think they're so bad. They're probably in Caleb Williams territory. And I think they're going to be looking to trade Kyler Murray at the end of the, end of the year.
You mentioned trading him, but would anybody be willing to take on this albatross of a contract? Because that's the one thing that I think is going to hinder potentially the Denver Broncos with the Russell contract. If he doesn't come around and Kyler Murray with this Arizona contract, what can they do to potentially escape it?
It's funny you say that. Cause I'm as down on Murray as anybody, but you hear all these coaches talk about him. All they do is praise him and praise his talent. So I think that there's a coach out there that might be willing to talk themselves into bringing him in, especially, a franchise that hasn't had a good quarterback in a while.
Let's go offensive rookie of the year. Now the only one shorter than Bryce Young is Bijan Robinson. But I think Bijan was last time I looked was +250. Bryce Young, a pretty good price here, Zachary, at 5-1 for offensive rookie of the year.
I love Young at that price. I think that those awards, they tend to go to a quarterback when there's one that's suitable. And I think that he's going to have a chance to win. I think he's going to put up decent numbers for a decent football team. And that's kind of enough in my mind. I think that the Panthers have a solid group of wideouts. I think Adam Thielen could be decent for him as like a security blanket type. I don't think that they have a true number one, but they might not need it. Frank Reich is such a good schemer. I think he's going to get those receivers open, and Fields is such a smart quarterback. Young is such a smart quarterback that he's going to hit them.
Yeah, I think you bring up a good point there. Anybody that you like on the defensive side of the ball potentially for defensive rookie of the year?
I'll just give you some odds. I'll just throw you some odds just to help you out. So Will Anderson's 3.5-1. Jalen Carter, 6.5-1. Tyree Wilson, 9-1. I'll give you the top five over at DraftKings. Devon Witherspoon's 9-1. Christian Gonzalez is 9.5-1.
I think I like Witherspoon because I'm pretty high on the Seahawks. And he's going to come in. He's going to be their number two corner, not their number one. So he's not going to have the toughest matchup. And I think Seattle is going to be a really good team this year. And I trust kind of their infrastructure to make him a good player.
Patrick, I like his pick on Witherspoon. I think he's an incredible talent. But I'll tell you a guy that I would take a look at is Jalen Carter out of Georgia. This is a guy, if he didn't have the off-field issues, could have and potentially would have been the first overall pick. And the other thing is he's playing on a pretty good football team already. I think that benefits you when you play with other good players around you.
Totally agree. You're high on the Jags. I won't give it away. What I will encourage you to do, if you want Zachary's breakdown on exactly how far he sees the Jags going, you have to download the guide, vsin.com/subscribe. But let's just give an overview. You're high on this Jags team.
Yeah, it's a good tease. I won't tell them either. But I like Lawrence as a potential MVP pick at plus 1,400. I thought he looked like an elite quarterback in the second half of last season, especially after the bye week. I just think the game really slowed down for him last season noticeably. And then you add Calvin Ridley to the mix. I think that's a team that's going to outscore opponents in some shootouts. The only thing I'm worried about with them is the offensive line. I think Cam Robinson is suspended. That's something that concerns me a little bit. But I do think that they're going to win that division. I think they're going to win 10, 11 games and really be a contender this year.
When you look at that division, do you think Tennessee or anybody else can genuinely challenge them? I know some other people have picked some teams, but I personally don't see it.
Maybe I'm putting too much weight into that Bengals game, but I saw Tannehill stink that game up, and it made me think that the Titans are just an awful team moving forward. So I'm so down on Tennessee. I think that this is going to be pretty easy for Jacksonville, and I think, actually, there's a chance that Houston ends up being the second best team in that division.
I agree with you both, and it's always hard to go against Wes Reynolds. We love Wes. Wes was on earlier in the week, and he actually has. Maybe he's just taking a price, but he had the Titans winning that division. The Titans are... if you look up in flux in the dictionary, it's a picture of the Titans right now. Like, the roster is worse than you think. If you really analyze from last year to this year, new general manager, huge prices at quarterback and running back that they're looking to move on from. The vibes around the Titans, you know, got rid of the general manager, obviously brought in a new one. The vibes on the Titans, new offensive coordinator, I don't like it all. I totally agree with you both. Okay. Before we say goodbye, Zachary, the Jets, you're going to go over the 9.5 for the win total here.
Yeah, I just feel like that was almost the easiest one for me to make. You're going from the worst quarterback in football in Zach Wilson, you know, some below average guys in Mike White, Joe Flacco, that's actually putting it nicely. But you're going to a legendary quarterback in Aaron Rodgers, who I don't even think he needs to be a top five quarterback for them to be a great team. They won 7 games last year. They have a top five defense. I think if Rodgers performs at a Kirk Cousins level, you're looking at a Jets team that probably wins 10, 11 games. I think that the talent that he's going to be playing with in New York is outrageous compared to Green Bay.
Patrick, I agree with him. I love this Jets team. I know everyone is talking about Buffalo and the, I don't know. Look, I'm very biased when it comes to AR-12. I think he's an unbelievable quarterback. I think what he's going to be number 8 in New York, though.
You want some MVP dark horses? Make sure you check out Zachary's article in the new 2023 NFL betting guide. Hey, great job, Zachary. You did an awesome job with this along with the rest of the team at Zico, Z-C-O on Twitter. Enjoy your weekend, man. Appreciate you.
Thanks, guys. You too.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Yeah, I'm down on the Titans. I don't know why. I just think it's going to be a weird year for them. Yeah, it's just, again, I'll have to do more research to corroborate my angle, but the new general manager, do not sleep on people liking to stay employed. And if you can get a free year of employment, which means you tell the owner, this year, I'm just trying to figure out what we have this year, and start judging me next year when I actually can implement my process, my philosophy, and get my players in here. That's what Carthon's saying to everybody in Tennessee. And then that permeates the team. They know this isn't a season that they're expected to contend. Hey, we got day baseball or earlier baseball. Let's get a play with the Padres and Reds coming up next.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, along with the NFL betting guide, when you sign up, you get the picks. Now, the picks are every day from every show, host and guests. Also got the VSIN Experts leaderboard. It's all for an introductory offer of $19 right now. I think today is the last day as well. You can get that summer special. So you can either go $175 through the Super Bowl for everything or introductory offer of $19. VSIN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe to get the picks and everything we offer. Got you back here. Sharp Money. Of course, Dustin Sweetelson, Amal Shaw, and Patrick Maher. So I wanted to discuss this game. Dustin, you said it. I didn't even think about it because I'm bad with converting times. But you've got a 5:10 Eastern Padres Reds first pitch, which is a super weird time. I think Amal said potentially maybe it's because holiday weekend and they just expect people to be taking today off. Now, here's the way it works generally. If July 4th were to fall on a Saturday or Sunday, companies will give their employees a Friday off or maybe a Monday off. But I think people are just low key. Like, isn't it Tuesday this year with July 4th? So people are just like, Tuesday's July 4th. I'll take Monday off too, and I'll take Wednesday off. I just hope the passport division of our government does not take Monday and Wednesday off, because I definitely need that sandwich not to happen.
Can we get updated odds there?
It ain't. I think it's a long shot. I think the holiday is going to hurt me. When we're talking about one day affecting a vacation, we got to upgrade our system with passports and just mailing, please.
But the mental game is the worst part about this. Cause like, what if you get it and it shows,
I don't know
like,
what to do,
like 12 hours before the flight or like a day before the flight, but you've already mentally been like, I'm not going to go to France. Now do you go, even though like mentally you were already accepting your fate that you
weren't
taking
this trip? Well, it's much different. If it were just me, I wouldn't care, but you got a dog. So you got to let people know, like, all right, are you not coming to stay at my house to watch the dog? It's a weird, listen, I'm not complaining. If I do go, if I don't go, it's fine. There are much worse things happening in the world right now than me being able to vacation. But the passport thing is, it's wild. Anyway, let's go Padres Reds. This is fascinating, boys, because if you look at the total today, the same total in Coors, 11. Okay, that's the same with the Tigers and Rockies at Coors, and for good reason. Seth Lugo, who's actually, since his return from the IL, his last two starts, he's been very effective. But Graham Ashcroft, who pitched last year for the Reds, if you look over his last six or seven starts, over his last six starts, he's given up 36 runs. Look at his numbers. He's getting freaking crushed. He's 25. He's a young kid. This is what the Reds have a lot of young kids in that pitching staff. And, you know, they're kind of letting him work through it. He got sent down for a spell. This is his first full year, Ashcraft. And he's just getting rocked. But let's talk about the Padres. Fresh off a three-game sweep where they got swept at the Pirates. Before that, they lost 2 of 3 at home to the Nationals. The Nationals have the third worst record in all of baseball. Before that, they lost 3 of 4 at San Francisco. So they've lost 5 straight to Padres. They've lost 8 of 10 and 3 straight series. This team stinks, and the offense stinks. It's a listless offense. Who did we have on earlier? Jimenez talking about, like, you know, everybody's underperforming up and down across this offense. And so you look and you see an 11, you automatically think, let's fire on the over, but not so fast. Like I mentioned, Lugo's been pitching better for the Padres. Ashcraft's been getting rocked, but you got a listless offense coming in the Padres. Now, I've dug into their numbers a little bit, and their power numbers in the month of June are kind of still there. They do hit bombs. They just don't hit for average, and they don't pick guys up once they get on base. This is a very confounding Padres team, Amal.
Hey, you're absolutely right. It's really alarming. Yesterday, they lose the game because Hill makes a bad throw up the first baseline. The pitcher up 4-2 with runners on base with first and second, allowing them to score. This is a key 10 days for the Padres, guys. We talked about it in terms of whether they're going to be buyers or sellers. And I think there's a potential that if things don't turn around very quickly, this team could be looking to make some moves in terms of getting rid of some pieces that are potential, because you're not going to get rid of Machado, Tatis, Jake Cronenworth. You've got some long-term pieces, Xander Bogaerts there, but I think you have to start stockpiling for the future if you're the Padres, if you don't think you're going to be in contention at this point in time. You mentioned it, Graham Ashcraft. I'll tell you what, I don't know if there's a pitcher that's had 5 games that are worse than Ashcraft. 6 runs, 2 sevens, an 8, a 10. I mean, it's unbelievable what he's given up.
It's one of the worst runs. It's one of the worst stretches this year. I mean, I can't. Maybe it's the worst. I don't have the context, but you're right, right? Didn't he give up 10 earned, 2 out?
Yeah, against the Milwaukee Brewers on June 3rd.
Honestly,
yeah.
The Milwaukee Bucks might be better at hitting than the Brewers.
And 10 earned is special because just the fact that you're left in to give up 10 earned is generally,
fend for
is
yourself,
generally pretty
man.
Special. Hey, big guy, I'm going to be serious with you right now. And we work in sports betting content. We were degenerate bettors before we got into sports betting broadcasting. I'm going to tell you something right now. I can feel myself itching. I am betting this game if I hate it. Okay, so I'm telling you right now, I need a side. I know Samich, who's going to join us, is on the Reds catching a plus price. I think it's plus 120. Looking at it right there. But let's get creative. We can go team totals. I guarantee you both team totals are sitting 5.5. I guarantee you on the team totals.
I have a bet on this game, and here's what I'll tell you. Graham Ashcraft is one of the worst regular starting pitchers in all of baseball. He is a guy that is very difficult to back. He's a guy who gets shelled by every team from West to East Coast and in between. Seth Lugo is a pitcher I really like. I thought the Mets made a mistake by letting him go and never really giving him a chance to be a starter. They always liked using him as a high-leverage, multi-inning reliever. But I think as a starter, he's actually pretty solid. However, when I look at this game, guys, sometimes when you place bets, you can let the numbers on the board tell you what's going to happen. And also, you can just bet on the better team. You guys listed all the reasons why the Padres are struggling right now, and they're a very difficult team to back. Everything with the Reds, the energy is right, the vibes are right. They just find ways to win games, while on the other side, the Padres find ways to lose games. So I look at this game, and the total, as you said, 10.5, 11, depending on the book. That leads me to believe the bookmakers assume there's going to be a lot of runs. Well, that means both guys are going to get hit. And if both teams are scoring runs, let me back the team that I think is better at a plus price right before our nation's independence. America's team is the play. USA.
America.
USA.
USA.
America. USA.
America. America created the Reds, created strip clubs and hot dogs. You guys think I'm joking. Tell me the other country that started strip clubs. Strip clubs, hot dogs, and the Reds? That's July 4th.
It's my weekend.
All right, so you want me to take the plus price. Okay.
USA. A bet on the Reds is a bet for America.
By the way, the Reds...
But let's just say something about Ashcraft.
He stinks.
He's so bad, he misspelled his name. It should be Ashcroft.
I knew that was coming. It was a good joke.
It's terrible shtick, but you knew I was going to say it. It's okay.
Listen, this team's going to take being 43-38 at this stage of the season. Halfway point of the year. They're tied with the Milwaukee Brewers. Great opportunity for them. And you guys talked about it. Patrick mentioned it. They've lost 5 out of 6. The Padres have. If you're going to get on the right track, you've got an opportunity to do so. And if Ashcraft's going to get things turned around against this Padres team that has been anemic at times offensively, losers of 5 in a row, good opportunity here. I mean, this is a team that has scored 12 runs in their last 5 games.
Well, also, dude, Lugo's pitched pretty well, but if you go back 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, last 7 starts of his, they've lost 6 of those games.
Good one. But it's even deeper with the Padres. They just got swept by a team and the Pirates, who aren't the Pirates we remember with that hot start. And then how about after returning from San Francisco back home to Petco, play 3-game set against the Nats and lose 2 of 3? I mean, that is, like, this is a bad team. And I know people are doubling down on the Padres because they look at the roster and they also look at their preseason predictions and say, well, pride has got to get me through. This team, it's not happening. It's just not happening. So
it doesn't work. Their method for building a winner does not work. This is the second time they've tried to do it. Remember with the Upton brothers and Craig Kimbrell, they added all these pieces a few off. That was probably 10 years ago at this point. It said a few seasons.
No, you're right. It's like 7 years ago.
Yeah.
Juan Soto in his antics in the batter's box. His ass would be so fast out of town. The umps get so pissed at Soto. Every strike, he acts so demonstratively. You guys know what I'm talking about, right?
The lean and the stare.
No. To Dustin's point on the lean, the ball be 3 feet off the plate.
So annoying.
To the right side. He's like leaning across the ball. Like, dude, we know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, come on.
He peacocks on every pitch. Isn't he tired?
It's a lot of
wasted
movement.
You know what I mean? Like, to put that much energy into every pitch for 162 and 4 at-bats?
Ridiculous.
All right, Reds. You know what? It's not even – look, oftentimes we'll get in deep into the analytics. Correct me if I'm wrong. We've got America's birthday coming up. That doesn't mean San Diego. That means Cincinnati. Plus 120. And Samich is on him too, and he joins us next. Sharp money. 1 hour to go.